back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the long horn cattle feed on the lowly.
America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because the dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes. I've got a dream house I'll build there one day with picket fence and rambling road. I feel so welcome each time that I return that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love the dear heart and gentle people who live and love in my hometown. I feel so welcome each time that I return that my happy heart keeps acting like a clown. I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live and love in my hometown. Who live and love in my hometown.
Well, thank you, folks. Thank you very much. You know, this is the kind of a roundup I like best. Yes, sir, I sure look forward to it, and I hope that you do, too.
You can't be true, dear. There's nothing more to say. I trusted you.
Thank you, neighbors. I'm glad you like it. Say, Patrick.
Yeah?
Here's a letter just came in for you.
A letter? No kidding. Who's it from?
Tax collector, I guess. Why don't you open it and find out?
Why didn't I think of that? Okay.
What does it say?
Well, what do you know? It's from Papa.
Oh?
It says, dear son. That's me. Yeah. It says, do wish you would write more often. even if it's only $2 or $3.
Nice subtle beginning.
Yeah. May I continue?
By all means, please do.
Well, thank you. The weather back here has been beautiful, just like spring. Makes everybody want to get up and go. Only there ain't no use to get up because there ain't no place to go.
You know, Buttram, that reminds me of the time that I decided to leave home once for that very same reason. Fact is, I even went so far as to get me a ticket on the streamliner.
Now, wait just one minute there, Bob. No streamliner ever stops where you live, and you know that.
Are you kidding? I'll have you know the fastest express in the country used to stop there twice a day.
How often?
Well, maybe it was only twice a week.
How often?
Twice a month.
How often?
Okay, so it had a wreck there once.
That's better.
Hey, look, do you two want to hear the rest of Papa's letter, or don't you?
Well, is there any way that we can get out of it?
No.
That's just what I figured.
Guess what Papa says about Uncle Clyde did here.
What?
Well, it seems that he was walking down the railroad track one day last week when a train started tooting its whistle behind him for him to get out of the way.
And what did Uncle Clyde do?
Well, being a stubborn, hard-headed old reprobate like he is, well, Uncle Clyde figured that he had just as much right to them railroad tracks as a train did.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kept right on walking.
Oh, fine.
Not for long it wasn't fine, no. Pretty soon the train started picking up speed, so Uncle Clyde started running. Faster and faster they both went, till finally the train was right behind him. The engineer leaned out of the window and yelled, "Get off of the track, you old goat."
Then what did Uncle Clyde do then?
He just turned right around and yelled back to the engineer. He said, "Nothing doing. You're just trying to get me over in that plowed field so you can catch me."
Yarn spinning time seems to have rolled around once more, so if you'll all bear with me, I'd like to recall for you the Snyder Brothers story, an experience that I'll never forget. Let's see now. To begin with, Jim Snyder, the older of the two brothers, was one of the state's biggest ranchers. While his younger brother, Frank, owned and operated the prosperous gold and silver gambling saloon in the small border town of Ronson Pass, just a few miles from Jim's ranch. At any rate, I first came into the story when, as a U.S. Deputy Marshal, I was sent to Ronson Pass to investigate Jim Snyder's death. That was on a Friday. On Monday morning, when I arrived, I went straight to the Snyder ranch, where I was met by the ranch foreman, A puncher by the name of Gil Patton.
Like I said, Mr. Autry, I sure don't know of anybody who'd want to kill Mr. Jim. He is one of the squarest guys who ever lived.
Yeah, Gil, but unfortunately, I'm afraid there's a lot of guys who'd do anything for $50,000. By the way, did Jim Snyder always have that much money around his place?
On the contrary, hardly ever. You see, the day after he was killed was payday. So $10,000 of the $50,000 was for that. The rest of the money he got from a cattle deal he closed with the Freeman Ranch over near Carterville the morning before he died.
So, and you say you don't have any idea where Mr. Snyder kept his money, is that right?
No, sir. Not in the least.
Well, much obliged to you, Gil. You hear anything, let me know, will you?
Sure thing. Where do I get in touch with you?
Well, tonight I'll be at the Star Hotel. In the meantime, I thought I might go into town and have a little talk with Jim Snyder's brother, Frank.
Look, Marshal, all I can tell you is just one thing. If you find the guy who killed my brother, you better smuggle him out of town fast, because all I'm hoping for is a chance to get my hands on him.
I know how you feel, Mr. Snyder. By the way, when was the last time you saw your brother alive?
Well, it was just a couple of days before it happened. Why?
Did you know anything about the money he had in his house at the time he was killed?
No, I didn't. See, Jim was a cattleman. I'm a gambling hall operator. Mm-hmm. We didn't have much in common where business was concerned.
How about socially?
We were brothers. Is that what you mean?
Not exactly. But it'll do for now. As I walked out of Frank Snyder's office, all of a sudden an idea hit me. Why not call on the owner of the Freeman Ranch? The man Jim Snyder had closed his last cattle deal with. The same man from whom he had received nearly $40,000 in cash. Perhaps he could throw some light on the subject. And sure enough, my hunch was right. For it was from Mr. Freeman that I learned something that gave me plenty to work on. I then returned to the Snyder Ranch and once more went through the house. Drawers were out, paper scattered everywhere, safe was open, and the mattresses were cut to shreds. Yet for some reason, somewhere in the back of my mind, there was a doubt that the money had ever been actually stolen. So that night, I decided to try part two of my plan. A little after 9 o'clock, I went over to Frank Snyder's gambling hall. Sat down by myself at a table and waited. Sure enough, it wasn't long before a group had gathered around me. Then, just like I'd hoped they would, the questions started.
Thomas Marshall, are you making any progress?
Well, that depends on what you mean by progress, boys. But I have learned one thing.
What's that?
Well, whoever killed Jim Snyder was after that $50,000. Only they didn't get it.
Kind of looks like somebody killed him for nothing, then. Eh, Marshal?
Yeah, kind of looks that way, all right.
You ain't carrying that $50,000 around in your pocket, are you?
I'm sorry, boys. I hate to disappoint you. But I will tell you this much. I left it right where Jim Snyder hid it. And I found it. Now I'd planted the seed. Now it was just a matter of waiting and watching it grow. Anyway, about a half hour later, I walked out of Frank Snyder's saloon and down a side street toward the livery stable where I kept camp. I never got there, though, because just as I reached a dark spot along the sidewalk, something that felt like a ton of lead pipe hit me behind the right ear.
So our little sleeping angel is awake, huh? Is your head clear enough to think yet?
That depends. What am I supposed to start thinking about?
About where that money's hidden out at old man Snyder's place, and you better be right.
You're wasting your time.
Okay, chum, you asked for it.
Now they really started working me over. first one, then the other. And I thought my head was going to snap off. Then all of a sudden, I got an idea. Just as one of them knocked me to the floor, I raked the rowel of my spur softly across the toe of his boot. Seconds later, I got a quick chance to do the same thing for the other guy. Now, at least, I had a mark for future reference.
Hold it, Joe. He's out again.
Just as well. He ain't gonna talk anyway. Come on, we're wasting time.
Right. Let's get back over and see the boss. He'll know what to do with him.
As the door closed behind him, I slowly straightened up, tried to shake my head free as the little men with the hammers. It was then I noticed that the back of the cane-bottomed chair I'd been tied to had been partly broken when they knocked me over. So, I decided to take a long shot on getting loose. I put both my feet against the wall and shoved myself, chair and all, to the floor. When I hit, it felt like I'd broken every bone in my body. But the back of the chair had snapped loose from the framework. My hands were still bound to what was left of it, but I was free to move. So I kicked the door open and went outside. The cold air felt good on my face. I started to walk toward the main street of town. According to the clock in the car of the railroad station, it was then exactly 12:45. 20 minutes later, I'd gotten the sheriff out of bed, had him fix up the cuts on my face and explained to him what had happened. Then the two of us headed for Frank Snyder's saloon.
Autry! What's the matter, Snyder?
You seem surprised.
Well, boys here and me just going over a little business.
Yeah, I bet you were.
What happened to your face?
Why not ask your two chums here? Maybe they know.
This guy's nuts, boss. We never saw him before.
Just right, Autry. Neither he or Tony left this place all night.
You're all free, Lyon. You know it. Remember what I told you about the spurs, Sheriff?
Yeah, I was just noticing that.
Huh? What are you talking about? What spurs?
My spurs, Mr. Snyder.
What about them?
I used them to identify the two punks who beat me up tonight.
What?
You heard me. What's more, if you look at each of your boys' right boots, you'll see my rowel mark still there.
Now, wait a minute, Marshal. You can't involve me in this.
Okay. Then maybe you can explain why you lied to me about not seeing your brother for 2 days before he died. When I happen to know that you talked to him on the very day of his murder at the Freeman Ranch.
Well, I guess I've just forgotten that.
Yeah? There's a lot of other things you seem to have found convenient to forget, Mr. Snyder. As for your two chums here, they're going to be tried for murder.
Hey, what is this? I ain't going to take
them. Oh, Joe.
Sure, Joe. Don't be a fool. Be a hero. Take the rap for somebody else.
Oh, no, I don't. I ain't taking a rap for nobody. Me and Tony had nothing to do with no murder. You could take your own rap. You did it. Tony and me can prove it.
Well, yeah, well, shut up, Joe.
I'm afraid he's already said enough to put you away for a long, long time, Snyder. Come on, let's go. And so Frank Snyder was given a life sentence and his two henchmen 20 years each. Oh, yeah, about the $50,000. When I said I'd found the money, I was only bluffing. You see, I figured I could trick whoever was guilty into going back to the scene of the crime and trying to find it. Instead, though, I wound up with a busted nose and two black eyes. As for the $50,000, guess where it was all the time? In the chandelier. Oh, well, I guess I came out ahead anyway. I found a 1913 Liberty Head nickel. It's worth $20. Ever so often, I just can't help being thankful for all the wonders of nature we're privileged to enjoy in this great land of ours. Of course, being a cowboy, I'm sort of partial to the West. But then I guess that's only natural. You'd probably feel the same way I do if you lived out here in our part of the country and could thrill to the things like, for instance, the singing hymn. And echoing a song of long ago, the singing hills were singing that night, that lovely night you said I love you so. The wind in the valley joined in our sweet refrain, but now the wind and I, each night we cry, come back again. And though you're gone, the song lingers on. Still echoing among the singing hills.
The singing hills are singing tonight, and echoing a song of long ago.
Rain, but now the wind and I, night we fly, come back again. And though you're gone, the song lingers on, still echoing among the singing. Until we're back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gently, I'm back in the saddle again.
Listen again next Saturday night at the same time for Gene Autry's Melody Ranch Show, sponsored in part by Mountain Dew. Hello, sunshine. Hello, Mountain Dew. And by the Danville chapter of credit unions and the 42 credit unions in this area.